This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
It was just over 2 years ago that we visited with former Denver safety Steve Atwater. Steve, as you probably know, is one of 27 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And unlike Leroy Butler, whom we had in the first hour of this program, he's been a finalist before. In fact, he was a finalist in 2016, an 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, 2-time Super Bowl champion, and an All-Decade choice. Steve is certainly worthy of Canton, and maybe, just maybe, this is his year. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I'm happy to be here and honored.
Now, Steve, I didn't mention that you're also a member of the Broncos Ring of Honor. Of all those accolades that I just mentioned, which is the most significant to you?
Well, to be honest with you, I'll probably say the Ring of Fame, just because that kind of encompasses all of the rest of them. It encompasses the 10 years that I played here in Denver, the 2 Super Bowls that we won, the Pro Bowls, the 8 Pro Bowls, the All Pros. All that is kind of encapsulated in that Ring of Fame honor. So I have to say, up to this point, that is most definitely the most special. Now, my best moment as a player was winning our first Super Bowl, watching John Mobley on the fourth down play, knock down that pass from Brett Favre to Mark Schmura. And, you know, I looked up at the clock and realized that we won, and we're going to be the world champions. I still, to this day, I get chills on my arms and all over my body just from going back to that moment. It was such a special moment for me and for all of our teammates and all the Broncos fans who have been waiting for years and years for us to finally get over that hump.
Steve, you kind of bent this Hall of Fame thing a little bit. In 2016, you were a finalist and you didn't get in. How did you deal with that disappointment, and how difficult was it for you?
Well, I mean, it was disappointing. I was certainly extremely happy to be in the room with the finalists, though. I didn't go any further than that. And got a chance to at least see what that was like to be a finalist, but certainly hoping I can one day get that knock. And Mr. Baker, this is a positive knock, and he's able to tell me something good versus, hey, Steve, you came close, but you didn't make it. So that would be the pinnacle of my career.
Steve, I asked Roy Butler this earlier, and I'll ask you the same question. What separates you as a safety, and what separates you as a Hall of Fame candidate from the other safeties, defensive backs?
Well, I have to say that all the guys on the list, I mean, you can probably pick one, except for a couple of guys, except if I would say Ed Reed. He's not even on the list yet, but I think you can pick any of those guys and say, all right, from his play on the field, what he contributed to the team, all that. I don't think you can go wrong picking anybody, to be honest with you. So, I mean, to say that I'm more deserving than some of the other guys, that's just difficult for me to say. What I can say, though, that I know how much time I put into it. Not saying the other guys didn't. I don't know what their work ethic was like, what their habits were like. I know that I laid it on the line every football game and practice, and I tried to give the young players on our team something to emulate. I came out and I worked hard, and we as a team, me and the other leaders on our team, expected that from our younger guys. So I think that set in motion a culture of excellence, in the way you prepare and also going out and playing the game. So and then also just being productive on the field, doing everything I can to get to the ball, to make a play, being a leader on the field, being unselfish. Those are all some of the traits that I think I had, and I would imagine a lot of the other players had those same traits. I don't know, though. I didn't play with them. But, it's difficult for me to say why you shouldn't pick somebody else. Most of them are just saying, hey, I think I'm one of the great players that have played this game, and you know, it would be an extreme honor to finally be recognized for that.
See, Steve, now you know what it's like to sit in a room with me and Goose and have to do this. It's not easy to. We know there's more guys than there are seats, you know.
Oh yeah, exactly. I can't imagine how difficult that must be for you guys. And you know, you got so many people, and you want everybody to get in, but everybody can't get in. You know, so I empathize with you guys in that regard, because you know, I wouldn't want to have that job, and then having to convince other people, because you know, I think when certain media members have seen players play, they tend to have a kind of a favorite for whatever reason. You know, they may like the person's style of play, and you know, somebody else may like another person's style of play that's, you know, quite different.
Sure.
But both players are quite effective.
Do you think your chances have been enhanced at all by the induction of Kenny Easley, who's a guy that Goose and I were really pushing for a long time? You know, he was out. It was 19 years before the last safety got in. Do you think his enshrinement?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that helped all the safeties, me included. It helped our chances. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. We'll have to wait and see with that. But I certainly think that because he was, you know, finally recognized, and when he got up there, I was there when he got inducted back in August, and it was for the speech. And you know, he mentioned all the safeties who he feel has been waiting a long time, and I think that caught a lot of people's attention, and may have been a bit surprised that he was that well connected in terms of you know, filling the plight for all of the safeties. He's been waiting for a long time. He's been certainly deserving, and I know his career was cut short because of you know, because of the issues. You know, he had some issues with the team too because of that, with the Seahawks, and fortunately they're back in a good place right now. But yeah, him being inducted, I think, just made that light shine a little bit brighter, and made people kind of dig under the hood a little bit and say, hey, what's going on with the safety position? Why are they underrepresented? Why hasn't a safety been picked in this long of a period of time? So, yeah, and hopefully, you know, hopefully a few more guys will get in there and kind of even up the numbers a little bit.
Yeah, that's the problem that we have at that position. Paul Krause intercepted more passes than any player in history, probably a record that'll never be broken. It took him 14 years. Paul Krause, Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, Paul Krause, okay. Yeah.
It took him 14 years to get in, and every time his name came up, they said, well, he had all his interceptions, but when you turn the tape on, you can't see him. He didn't make any tackles. Now they look at Steve Atwater and say, he was a great, you know, box safety, but where are the interceptions? They want a guy that intercepted 80 passes and made 1,000 tackles, and that guy doesn't exist. And that's
right.
One of the problems with the safety position. When you look at a safety, what does a Hall of Fame safety look like in your eyes?
Well, in my eyes, the Hall of Fame safety is a person who doesn't make a ton of mistakes on the field, a guy who is a leader. One of the leaders on his team, if not the leader on the defensive unit, is not out of place. Many times when you turn on the film, you see, all right, is he supposed to be in the middle of the field? Is he getting beat in the middle of the field when his responsibility is to take away the middle of the field? The great safeties, I think, are all, you know, going up in the middle of the field and a guy jumping over him and catching the ball for a touchdown. Also being that last line of defense, when a guy breaks through the line of scrimmage, he's able to either hold off the blockers enough time for his other defenders to get to the ball carrier, and also make those tackles when he's just, again, that last line defense, and you know, got to make that tackle or it's a touchdown. He makes many more than he doesn't make. And just, you know, being heavily involved in the game. I mean, when receivers throw the ball, the safety is there almost right upon the receiver catching the ball, delivering solid hits. Nowadays, not to the head. Back in my day, we that was kind of a strategy, but you know, we of course didn't know the repercussions, the dangers of that. But you know, now I still like to see that in safeties today, though. Solid body on body contact. Not, you know, not in the head area, but up high and not going for the knees. That's what I like to see. And just, again, just knowing that, hey, this guy's on the field and he's a force and the opponents respect him.
That, of course, was so much of your game, Steve, you know, being a force in the middle of the field, and there are other players. Easley was certainly one of those guys when I was out with the Raiders when Kenny was playing, and people didn't want to run across the middle of the field if Kenny Easley was out there or when you were out there. That's kind of been taken away to a great extent, and I think it's allowed for a lot more what Goose and I call as phony passing numbers. Does it bother you to watch today's game and see these receivers just running free through the middle of the defense because nobody can touch them?
You know what? It does. At the same time, it doesn't. It does because, you know, I think about the times when I played and I looked like that was a form of disrespect. If you run right through here, you know I'm right here, and you know that I can really, you know, go up and give you a nice hit. Well, it's disrespectful. So, but nowadays, the way I do kind of understand, I kind of like it, is because, you know, many times guys have a hard time adjusting from, you know, hitting in the head area to, you know, in the chest area to below the waist, and they end up going head to head and hitting defenseless receivers. And I don't think that can continue to go on if this game is going to be around for the next 50 to 100 years. I think that we have to find ways to make the game safer for guys once they're done playing football. And I think that that's really the reason why it's like that. That's why I do like it. I like, you know, I don't necessarily like to see it, but I like the final outcome. The guys, when they get done playing the game, they'll still be healthy, fairly healthy, and you know, not have as many issues as they've had in the past.
Steve, we heard about this from the Denver fan base on an annual basis. Is there a bias against the Broncos, do you think?
You know what? You know, there are all kind of conspiracy theories and, you know, theories out there like that. It may be more difficult to get guys, you know, in this area into the Hall of Fame, maybe just because there aren't as many writers that watch the Broncos games and get to know the players. But I mean, that's just pure speculation. I have no backup on that. I mean, and I would like to think that that's not the case.
Steve Atwater, thanks for the time once again, and best of luck with your Hall of Fame candidacy going forward. We hope to see you in February in Minneapolis.
All right, Clark, Rick, Ron, thank you guys for having me on. And, hey, hopefully we can have a better year next year, too, the Broncos.
Okay, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
That was Hall of Fame semifinalist Steve Atwater. Up next, Ron's going to ring out the old and ring in the new with our last two-minute drill of 2017. This is the Talk of Fame Network.